Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to read your word. Thank you for this grace that you've given to us in giving us your word. And we pray to you, Lord, this day that our hearts and minds are open to receive what you have for us. We ask you that your light shines in the midst of our life and that we know that it's you shining brightly. We also pray for your mercy upon this sermon, that it too might be used and is pleasing to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all things. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture today is from Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. I've never used this scripture before for Easter. This comes out of our devotion. I've always used it following Easter, but it's neat having it on Easter Day. Hear now God's word. Now that same day, two of the disciples, we're going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' In beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on their way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you have watched Sixth Sense? Sixth Sense? M. Night Shyamalan? No? Any of you not watch it and plan on watching it soon? No? I mean, though, there's spoilers. There's spoilers. But if you're going to watch it, cover your ears, say la 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 la. M. Night Shyamalan is known for his twists. His endings, and some of his movies, of course, are better than others, but that's the same as anybody else. M. Night Shyamalan, Sixth Sense was like the first one that kind of started it all. And I watched that movie in college. It was a bootleg copy. Someone was sitting in the theater with the camera. You know, one of those things. It was online when, like, online was like a newish thing. And whoever was recording it stopped with 8 minutes left in the film. Yeah, right? 8 minutes left. I thought I saw the whole thing. And I thought to myself, it was all right. It was all right. For an entire year, I went without any spoilers. And I didn't know there was anything to spoil. Someone asked me, did you watch that movie, Sixth Sense? It was great. And I said, yeah, it was all right. And then a year later, when I was at a different college, I had transferred, I saw the film. And I went in expecting I saw it all. And it went all the way up. I thought, yeah, you know, okay, this film's okay. I don't know why I'm watching it again. I had friends with me. That's why I was watching it again. And then I saw that there was 8 minutes left in the film. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I had no idea. I'm not going to tell you what. If you do want to see it, it's up to you to go see it. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. Now, I've watched this film again, probably about a year ago with Elijah, who never saw it. Once you know, you know. You know, it's like, it's still a fantastic film, and then you start looking at other things in the film that you didn't notice before, but it doesn't have that shock that it did before. And I think about that shock on Easter morning. We wake up Easter morning, sunrise service was amazing today, and I'm not saying that like patting myself on the back, like I did a fantastic job. You know, it's not that. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful morning. One of the more beautiful ones in recent memory. And I thank God that I got there. My alarm didn't go off. The service was at 7 o'clock. I woke up at 6:57, and I got there at 7:03. I was moving. It was also my breath stank when I got there. I didn't have time to brush my teeth. But I got there, and everyone, of course, is so full of love and joy and forgiveness, and which I greatly appreciate. But it was gorgeous. Just, and we sit there, and we watch the sunrise over the hill, and we talk about Christ being raised from the dead, and it's just a joyful and wonderful moment. And it made me think, as we were doing that, what was Easter Sunday for the disciples? They don't know the ending. They don't know what we knew. Good Friday for us, as we come in on Good Friday and we sit, we hear about the passion of Jesus Christ. How many of you have watched The Passion of Christ, that movie? Who did it? Mel Gibson, yeah. And watch it? Anyone not watch it? I've never seen it. I will never see it. I read the book. I know how it ends. I got to say, I know what Jesus went through, and I have no desire to see it visualized on the screen. I can't imagine it being a good thing to watch a man being beaten by a whip and thorns thrown on his head and nailed to a cross and the blood flowing down and getting pierced by a spear. I mean, I don't want to see that. But the thing is when we come on Friday evening and we do Good Friday services, we read that story. We read it and we look at images on the screen. They're not near Passion, you know, movie level. But we look at we relive that. We are reminded of that. And it's not a happy story. It's a sad day. Christ Jesus died in a very horrific way. And he was innocent. We were guilty. Christ was innocent. And Jesus died. And as hard as that day is, it's not near as hard for us as it was for the disciples. Because we know that another day is coming. We know Easter is right around the corner. We know that we're going to be joyful very soon. Even though we leave here on Good Friday sad and silent and contemplative, we know we're going to come back again joyful and happy and eating chocolate very soon. It's a happy, even though it's sad, it's still part of the happy story. It has a happy ending. For the disciples that were there watching Jesus go through all this and seeing for themselves the blood flow down, hearing Jesus speak, hearing Jesus say, "It's finished," watching Christ die, seeing the centurion pierce his side, watching the blood and water flow out, for them, that was the end of the story. That was the end of Jesus' life. Jesus is dead. Their hopes and their dreams that were in Christ, as our disciple on the road said in verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. That hope was gone. All their plans for the future, gone. All the great expectations, gone. When they woke up Sunday morning, there was no joy. There was no happiness. There was nothing to look forward to. When these disciples were leaving Jerusalem, they were leaving Jerusalem. Their mission, their hope, their plans for the future, over. They're out of there. They don't know what to do next. Clopas and his friend are on the road and they're talking about it. What's next? What's going to happen? What did happen? There's no joy in their mind at all. I love that Jesus came up along. Have you ever washed dishes and like you and your spouse and your child are in the living room and you hear your name brought up? And then so you wash dishes a little more quietly. Like, what are they saying about me? Like, I'm not there, but I want to hear what they're saying. I feel like that's what Jesus wants. Like Christ is walking on the road and he sees two of his disciples. And he's like, I wonder what they're saying. I hear my name brought up. And he goes over there all like sneaky-like, maybe his hood's up or I don't know, they just don't recognize him. Maybe he's wearing glasses and a fake mustache. I don't know what, but they don't recognize him. He's like, what are you talking about? He knows what they're talking about. What are you talking about? And they tell him. For one, they're shocked that he has no idea what's going on. And then two, you know, all this stuff. We thought that we had hoped that he was the one to come and redeem Israel. And he was a man of great power and a great prophet and yada, yada, so on and so forth. And Jesus, after hearing all this stuff, then says to them, you missed the point. How foolish you are. And he went back into the scripture, back into what for us is the Old Testament, and he showed them what had to happen to the Messiah. He saw their hope, but he noticed that they hoped in the wrong thing. We had mentioned earlier that when we hope for something, that hope tells us about ourselves. Their hope was that Jesus would redeem Israel. It told Jesus about themselves, which is they hoped wrongly. They understood incorrectly. And so Jesus, being the teacher that he always was, walked them through everything again. Helped to correct their misunderstanding. And then, as they approached the village, I love this, Jesus continued as if he was going to go further. Maybe not intending to do so, but they invited him. And Jesus broke the bread. And in breaking the bread, their eyes were opened. Now this I learned today. I'll borrow this. This I learned today. It was in a devotion that I had read. Do you know what the very first meal in the Bible was? Very, very first meal that the Bible mentions. What was that meal? Anyone know? Yeah. The very first time that the Bible talks about anyone eating anything. Now, it wasn't an apple. They never say it's an apple. But yes, the forbidden fruit. That was the very first time that the Bible mentions anyone eating anything. You can call it an apple. I mean, it don't matter, but the Bible doesn't call it an apple. And like I said, it don't matter. Let's see here. It shall not eat of it, and the serpent And when the woman saw that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and ate it, and gave it also to her husband who was there, and he did eat it. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. All right, keep that in your mind. What's happening on Easter Day is such a cool thing, because Jesus is closing the gap. The big story, the never-ending story, not to rip off the movie, but like that big story, God is putting like a, I don't want to say like a period, but when Jesus said it is finished, Christ meant that the sacrifices, all that was needed, all the sin that was started in the Garden of Eden, that there now is an out, and that is through Jesus Christ. And we see a hint of that in our scripture today. Now that scripture that I had you remember here, that they ate of the fruit and their eyes were opened and they recognized that they were naked. Verse 31 says this about the disciples after Jesus broke the bread. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. If you look at the Septuagint, which is the Greek form of the Old Testament, which was written way prior to our New Testament, the Greek language used in the Septuagint, and when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and their eyes were open and they recognized, is almost exactly the language used in this scripture. Christ is closing the gap. Whereas the first, Adam and Eve, ate of that which was forbidden, their eyes were opened to shame. When Christ gave them freely of Christ's bread, of the body, they ate. Their eyes were open, and they recognized Jesus. That's what we celebrate this Easter. We can never get at what they feel, how they would understand, because they were not expecting this. We know the rest of the story, and I think because of that, we are all the more blessed. Because though they walked in utter darkness because their Lord and Savior Jesus was dead, we never have to experience that utter dark darkness, because our Lord and Savior is alive and will ever be. And even though we come to Good Friday and we turn the lights off, we know it's merely a simulation, because Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. When we go through dark times, when we go through difficulties, Easter reminds us that that light shines brightly, and that we'll have a chance. Christ will help us through whatever it might be, won't let go of us because of this day. And for that, we're thankful. For that, I praise God for. Share with you this final benediction today. And now may God the peace, who brought back again from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, all this is pleasing to him. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, knowing that the Lord Jesus will always go with you, now and forever. Amen and amen.